So continuing on the exhibits of the fourth floor, the next big exhibit area is called Our People. And to me, one of the most moving displays right inside the door is how the invasions affected the population of Native Americans. And one of the things that really affected them greatly was the diseases that the American people brought over from Spain, England, and various countries. From 1492 to 1650, contagious diseases claimed as many as 9 out of 10 Native Americans. The exhibit goes on to talk about, in 1616, a wave of diseases swept just ahead of the Mayflower's pilgrims. So by the time they landed, the plagues had emptied many Native American villages. Pilgrims actually dug up graves and ransacked abandoned houses looking for buried corn, because corn was a symbol of wealth and prosperity, and they buried it with their dead. The colonists often settled in deserted Indian villages, and that's why they named it Plymouth. The epidemics raged for about 150 years, and this biological catastrophe has really been unprecedented in human history. The map here is not really an interactive map, but it shows different parts of North America that were affected greatly by diseases. Smallpox and different viruses really left Hispaniola, Puerto Rico, Jamaica, and Cuba desolated of Indians. In New England, back again to 1616, it just says, the Indians just died in heaps, and they laid in their houses. Bones and skulls upon several places of habitations made it an awful spectacle for the colonists to view. This is a pretty interesting display. It might be really worthy of a great research project. We're going to move on to the next area of the exhibit. In addition to the diseases that the colonials brought to the Native American tribes, some of the exhibits are talking about all the treaties that were agreed upon between the U.S. government and the Blackfeet Nation or the Apaches, and how the U.S. kind of broke those treaties. For example, the Blackfeet from the Dakotas made a treaty with the government allowing them to build roads and communication towers, and well, I guess they weren't towers back then, but in exchange, the U.S. gave them 26 million acres of land, and they just wanted peace for their people. They wanted to be left alone by the U.S. They just wanted to continue their lifestyle, and various government agencies along the way kept reducing that number of acreage till finally today, they're left with about 1.5 million acres. To me, that's one of the saddest stories of our interaction with the Native Americans. It's just we've kind of overrun their territories and taken away what was really theirs. The next display wall is a variety of different types of guns and rifles that were used in trading and certainly in repressing the Indian nation. A lot of the guns here were flintlock or different kinds of rifles. Not really guns, but mostly rifles. They have some that were discovered in different Native American burial grounds and Montana, the Montana Trail, mining camps, and a lot of them are army rifles that were used to defend forts. But in addition to the gun displays, there are some arrows and black powder from the 1840s that the warriors on the plains used to defend themselves and for hunting. And the one that I can see right here is made from the long barrel of a rifle, and it's turned into a crossbow. It's kind of interesting look. Up here is a little display that talks about 1830s. Kinetic inventor Samuel Colt developed a revolutionary weapon, a gun that could be fired again and again without reloading. The new Walker Colt was manufactured using Eli Whitney's principle that interchangeable parts, and the engraved barrel shows Texas Rangers defending Comanche warriors, or defeating, not defending, defeating the Comanche warriors. It was one of the tools